Welcome to the Scouter's Compass, the podcast that helps you stay pointed in the right direction on your scouting journey. I'm Chris Michaels, a proud scout leader from the Okinichi Council in North Carolina, and I'll be your guide as we explore the challenges, triumphs, and trailblazing ideas shaping the future of scouting. Each episode, we'll hear from voices across the Scouterverse, Cub Scout leaders, Scoutmasters, venturing and Sea Scout advisors, youth leaders, and national experts as we dig into the topics that matter most: growing strong units, creating meaningful outdoor adventures, building inclusive communities, and helping young people thrive in today's world. Whether you're a first-time den leader, a seasoned scoutmaster, or just scouting curious, this show is for you. So pull up a chair by the virtual campfire, hit subscribe, and join us on the trail. This is the Scouter's Compass, your guide to leading with purpose wherever your journey takes you. Summer fun just isn't complete without getting our feet wet. Whether you're swimming in the pool, paddling in a lake, or setting sail on the open water, knowing the basics of water safety can mean the difference between making lasting memories and facing a moment that we'd rather forget. To find out how we can keep our scouts safe around the water, I caught up with Jeff Pitts, the Aquatics Committee Chair for Okinichi Council and Senior Aquatics Advisor at Camp Durant.
All the questions. Before we jump into the deep end, so to speak, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, sure. I grew up in Florida, surrounded by water, of course. Eagle Scout, class of 1976. I have two sons who are Eagles. I worked with the United States Coast Guard for a while. Before I got more involved in scouting here in Okinichi Council. Scoutmaster, Assistant Scoutmaster, and Committee Chair for Troop 17 here in Durham. And now I serve as Troop Committee Chair for Troop 412 in Durham, which is a girl troop.
Well, and at summer camp, you've been our longtime aquatics director there and have recently passed the hat, so to speak, to the current aquatics director.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about running a aquatics program at summer camp.
I became aquatics director in 2010. So about 16 years I've been aquatics director at Durant. So what goes into a camp school, you know, it's a week long, 7 days, actually a week long training where you learn everything there is to know about running a scout aquatics program. And there's a lot that goes into it. Not only swimming or teaching merit badges, like swimming merit badge, life-saving merit badge. At Durant, we have canoeing, kayaking, small boat sailing. We also do stand up paddle boards and then just regular open swimming. You know, people come down, like you say, want to get their feet wet, want to cool off. And so there's a lot of protocol that we follow. We set it up. I train my lifeguards in staff week to be rescuers. And so that's also something that we train adults to do with the swimming and water rescue. We also train the flat water paddlecraft safety, both in kayaks and canoes. So lots of moving parts down there. And
what are the bare minimum trainings that leaders need to have or that we need to put in place to make sure that we should do things safely on the water?
So the way you start in aquatics is the basic training is called Safe Swim Defense. SSD, Safe Swim Defense. And that's for swimming. And it's about an hour, maybe online thing. You know, you look at videos, answer questions, take a little test, that kind of stuff. And then you're certified in Safe Swim Defense. That's basic training. There's 8 points. We can go into those later if you want to. Everybody that's in scouting that's going to have any person affiliated with water needs to have Safe Swim Defense as a starter. if they're interested in going in boats, then what we call safety afloat is the first step. And there's 9 safety points to that. And the first point for each of these is to be a qualified supervisor. And a qualified supervisor, by definition, in Safe Swim Defense and Safety Afloat, is any registered scouter, 21 years old or adult, who's trained in that Safe Swim Defense or Safety Afloat and is willing to put children at risk in whatever the activity is. So if you're willing to let the kids go swimming, then you're the qualified supervisor for that event. So that's, again, that's just basic. And that's what is, as far as I'm concerned, as an aquatics director, that's just as big a requirement as youth protection. Mm-hmm. So, because if you're going to do anything with water, you need to know what the rules are for that. So that's the first step. So the next step in aquatics would be what we call swimming and water rescue. And then for paddling, for boats and stuff, that'd be paddlecraft safety. And those are both 8-hour courses, just like IOLS. So it's basically a weekend. It's face-to-face, that's experience in the water, swimming water rescue. You work on your strokes, you work on rescue. It's basically, you learn everything that there is to know about swimming merit badge and life-saving merit badge. Because once you get swim water rescue, then you can actually instruct those merit badges and sign them off.
How about for the rank requirements? Because I know that there's swimming rank requirements when you get into second class, first class.
Right.
Do you need to have the Safe Swim Defense and the second part here in order to sign off for those? Or do those have to be done in the presence of a lifeguard who then signs off?
No, actually, anybody who has Safe Swim Defense and can sign off anything else in a scout's record book or enter it in scout book, anybody that can do that can also certify as either a beginner or a swimmer according to the tests. And that's what you learn about in Safe Swim Defense is what the test looks like. And then in swimming water rescue, you actually administer those tests. So a scoutmaster or cubmaster can, if they follow the steps for the swim test, first class swim test for a scout to become a swimmer, and they follow the steps correctly, they can sign that off. Now, where they do that, they need to have, if they do it at a municipal pool, there's lifeguards there. The lifeguard doesn't have anything to do other than just watching the pool and making sure that, you know, everything's done safely. The scoutmaster is the one that actually signs off the requirement because they know what the requirements are and they can check them off. Perfect. Typical Red Cross lifeguard has no idea what's going on with this kind of thing. So they just the lifeguard just watches the pool and the scoutmaster or cubmaster signs off the requirements.
So that's the same reason we make sure that, you know, mom comes up to me as a cubmaster or assistant scoutmaster for my units and says, oh, he did the YMCA swim test and got his black band. Well, that doesn't mean anything for us because that's completely irrelevant to the existing requirements. What do I need to do to achieve beginner and swimmer?
Swimming ability, you have your first level is non-swimmers, and the non-swimmers are the ones who either don't want to take the test. Maybe they can swim, but they don't want to take the test, so they're classified as non-swimmers. And also, these are people who are learning how to swim, you know, maybe aren't really experienced with it yet, but they want to you know, get in the water, get their feet wet. Those are your non-swimmers. So they can do that as non-swimmers. So the swim test, the first class swim test or the scout swim test, the first step is to jump in the water over your head, feet first. You can't go down the ladder, can't slide in. You got to jump in feet first, water over your head. Now, the next step is the most important. You have to come up. If you don't come up, you don't pass the test.
Then, if you don't come up, you're a brick.
Then you're definitely a non-swimmer. And so that's where the qualified supervisor has to be trained in swimming water rescue to be able to go get this person, right? Because mm-hmm. then you have to effect a rescue. But assuming that the scout can actually swim, they come up and then they begin swimming with a strong forward stroke, and they have to swim 75 yards. So a strong forward stroke can either be the front crawl, or some people call it freestyle. Mm-hmm. It can be the back crawl, which some people call racing backstroke. You can use breaststroke. You can use a side stroke. So any strong forward stroke for 75 yards. Mm-hmm. And then you flip over on your back, whatever stroke you're using, flip over on your back and you swim 25 yards using the what we call the resting backstroke. And that's the one where your arms do not come out of the water. Right. It's kind of you bring your hands up by your armpits. We call that the chicken. And then you stretch them straight out. We call that the airplane. And then you bring them down to your side and we call that the soldier. So it's a three-stroke movement with your arms, chicken, airplane, soldier. And then it's kind of a frog kick with your feet. So it's a resting backstroke. You can do that stroke and glide for a long time and rest and get your strength back. So the whole swim is 100 yards, 75 yards with a strong forward stroke, 25 yards with the resting backstroke. And then you finish up by floating and you can either float face up or you can float face down. There's no time limit. It's just got to be a float. You can't be treading water. So if a scout can't float on their, you know, face up and their feet keep sinking, just have them roll over, because when they catch a breath, their lungs are going to fill and they're going to be able to quit paddling their hands and kicking their feet, and they're float.
They're just they're a balloon on the water at that point.
Yeah, we call that a survival float. That's one of the things that they have to do for swimming merit badge. It's a survival float. So that's it. That's the swim test. And this is for scouts and adults. Everybody has to pass this swim test every year. I have to do it. Everybody has to do it. If you're going to go swimming or be on the water, you've got to be a swimmer and you've got to pass the test every year. The beginner test is a little bit different. It starts out the same way. Jump in the water, feet first, over your head. It's got to be over your head. And then come up. And then they can swim any way they want to. They want to swim under the water. They want a dog paddle. They want to, you know, whatever they can do. They've got to swim 25 feet and then turn around and swim back to the start. The whole idea of jumping in the water feet first is if you get knocked off a dock, okay, or you fall out of a boat, can you come up, okay? Mm-hmm. And then can you get yourself to safety by dog paddle or whatever? And you don't have to float. You don't have to use different strokes.
Now, if I'm a young scout who's kind of just afraid of getting in the water to begin with, you know, we're going to classify them as a non-swimmer, but what does that prevent them from being able to do when they go to summer camp or when they're wanting to say, hey, I want to ride in a canoe with my buddies. Are they allowed to?
As long as the whoever the buddy is an adult and is also a swimmer, we're going to put them in a life jacket anyway. They can't go by themselves, of course. They can't go in a kayak by themselves, but they can go in a boat and they can wear a life jacket and they can go on a sailboat. You can even go on bigger boats that where everybody's not wearing a life jacket, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But for a child, let's say a lion, for example, to go in a boat, in a canoe, the adult with them has to be a swimmer and has to have safety afloat and swimming and safe swim defense.
Okay. So beginners, non-swimmers, doesn't mean that you can't or that you're going to miss out on the summer activities. It just means that you have to do it with an adult buddy and somebody that is able to pull you out should you accidentally fall in.
Yeah. Non-swimmer, like our lake, the water looks pretty dark. It's actually clear because when you're in the water and you're looking down at your feet, you can see your feet. Mm-hmm. You just can't see the bottom. A lot of kids will pass a swim test in a pool, but then when they get to the lake and they see the dark water again, they're afraid of the snapping turtles and all that kind of stuff. You know, in our swim area, it's perfectly safe. That's what we have our lifeguards there for, to keep an eye on the, if there is any wildlife that come in the swim area, we pull everybody out.
From an aquatics director perspective, is it easier if the scouts arrive to scout camp with their swim checks already done, or do you still prefer to do them yourselves there at camp?
Oh yeah, we prefer them to do them ahead of time. Yes. Scoutmaster or assistant scoutmaster trained in safe swim defense can sign that off. They can sign off that swim record. They follow the steps for the swim test. They do it at, let's say, Taylor Y in Cary, and the swim test is done correctly. They give me this sheet. I fill out the buddy tags. That's fine. Now, if a kid comes down and his tag says swimmer, and he's taking like swimming merit badge, you got to be a swimmer before you can take swimming merit badge. He gets in the water and really struggling. I have the prerogative to retest that child in the water. So, we can retest anybody, but we would certainly prefer, it takes a lot of pressure off of us on Sunday afternoon to go ahead and have that swim test. Cubs that are coming down for the Cub weekend, if they can get a swim test before that and come down and have the form filled out and that they are a swimmer, then we just go ahead and you know, fill out their buddy tag as a swimmer, and they're good to go. But yeah, if we see that somebody claims to be a swimmer, but they obviously aren't, we'll retest them and we may give them some instruction right there to try to, because we want everybody to be a swimmer. We want people to be swimmers so they can enjoy everything else and be safe.
Correct. Let's talk about some of the instances in which, you know, we mentioned at the very beginning, it's summertime and a lot of units might want to go, have a pool party or go canoeing or do stuff at the beach. Let's talk about some scenarios here. And what are the things that we need to make sure that we can do those things safely? So first and foremost, we talked about swimming checks. Let's just blanket say, if you want to do anything in the water, make sure everyone's had a swim check.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. They have to. The participants have to have had a swim check. And also, I would say any unit, then at least one person needs to be trained in safe swim defense. And so the 8 points for safe swim defense is, the first is qualified supervision. And it's very helpful if at least one person has life-saving merit badge. Or if they're a lifeguard, a former BSA lifeguard or a Red Cross lifeguard, Ellis, whatever. The more people that you have that are trained, especially in remote areas, right, you know, like a farm pond or something like that. If you go to a pool, it's no big deal. The second point is a personal health review. And that's just our annual physical before we go anywhere. But also, it has to do with checking to make sure a person is safe to go in the water. They don't have any open cuts, you know, for example. They're not sunburned where they're going to get hurt worse if they're messing around in the water. So just make sure everybody's healthy enough to go swimming or paddling or whatever. Then the next point in safe swim defense, point three, is a safe area. So that would be a pool. Obviously, would be a safe area. If it's kept clean, you know, the water's safe and all that kind of stuff. Other safe areas, you can go swimming in the ocean as long as you don't get anywhere near a riptide, right?
Right.
So you have to make sure that whatever the area is that you're going is safe and that there's a controlled access. There's kind of one way in and one way out. You can't just jump into the river wherever you want to. You got to make sure that you get into the water safely. Water needs to be a decent temperature, not too hot, not too cold. You can't have a whole lot of moving water. Needs to be nice and calm, not big waves. You know, maybe people like to go to the beach and enjoy the waves, but that's, again, a hazard and have to kind of look out for it.
Mm-hmm.
Next step would be, number four would be response personnel, lifeguards. Again, if you're at a pool, you've got lifeguards there. But if you're at a remote area, like you go to Carr Lake, to our camp up there, Camp Campbell, mm-hmm. You need to have response personnel. And what those are is any scout that's trained in the line and tender rescue, which is a first class scout requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Any of your scouts that are trained in line and tender rescue can be your response personnel. You have a lookout that's keeping an eye on the whole swim area. The lookout can also be the qualified supervisor, but doesn't have to be. But the lookout is, if you're in a remote area outside, then you want to make sure that you're listening for thunder. You're watching for boat traffic, for example. The lookout keeps an eye on the response personnel to make sure that they're paying attention to what's going on. Mm-hmm. So lookout, you know, just kind of keeps an eye on everything. And then sixth step is the ability groups. We talked about that. The swim test, swimmer's test, beginner's test. It's all in the Safe Swim Defense. Of course, step point seven is the buddy system. Everybody has a buddy. Every participant is paired with a buddy. The buddies stay together. The buddy, if there's something wrong, the buddy is the first one to notice and would be able to notify the lifeguards that somebody needs some help. So that's why we have the buddy system. Buddies should stay about 10 feet apart. You should have regular buddy checks about every 10 minutes or so. Make sure that the buddies are of the same swimming ability. So swimmers with swimmers, beginners with beginners. And kind of go back to your other question about being in a boat. If the swimmer is in the boat and has a non-swimmer with them, they got to look out for each other. Mm-hmm. And a swimmer can be in a swimming area with a beginner, but they need to be in the designated area for beginners.
Mm-hmm.
So every area is designated as a swimmer, beginner, non-swimmer. Non-swimmers can go in up to about their waist or so, you know, just enough to get wet. So then the last point of Safe Swim Defense is discipline. And what that means is that everybody agrees to follow the rules, that everybody knows what the rules are, that they understand the reasons for the rules. And basically, you know, everybody listens and pays attention and nobody gets hurt. The thing about it is about the Safe Swim Defense. If, you know, every year we have drownings at, mm-hmm. at lakes, in the rivers, at the beach, even in pools. And anytime I read an account in the newspaper or online of a drowning, you can basically, from what's information given, you can see how at least four or five of these points, of these 8 points, have been violated.
Right.
And that's how people drown. So that's why scouting is a whole lot safer than, like you say, your YMCA. Again, the YMCA, you know, it's a safe area, that it's really controlled access, the discipline's there. But still it can be a dangerous situation sometimes.
Now, I know this from having been a lifeguard. You know, if you were to describe drowning, what it looks like, how somebody experiences it, it's not really like the movies have.
No, a person can drown in about 20 seconds. So it's really fast, for one thing. So that's why our guards are trained in scanning techniques.
Mm-hmm.
But some things that we look for in a person who's distressed is the head is back, way mm-hmm. back, because they're trying to keep their mouth out of the water, their mouth and nose out. They will more than likely not call for help, because all of their effort is to keep their mouth and nose out of the water. So they're not even going to think about calling for help. They're typically pushing down on the water, trying to climb out of the water, vertical position in the water. And this goes also for adults. I mean, if an adult has some kind of medical emergency, say a heart attack, their body position is going to be vertical in the water. They may or may not be moving. They are going to be trying to keep their head and face out of the water. And if you can see their eyes are as big as saucers because they are terrified.
You know, we talked about through safe swim defense, all the areas where we would have a need for somebody, the 8 points. You know, one other one would be canoeing, or if a unit wants to go out and use paddle boats or rowboats, or what do we need in terms of considering boat usage?
Okay, yeah, so that's a whole nother a little online class that you can take called Safety Afloat. When you go to that aquatic safety page, there's links to Safe Swim Defense and Safety Afloat. Safety Afloat is again, where you would start before you would go on any kind of outing, boating outing. So there's 9 points to Safety Afloat, and some of them are real similar to Safe Swim Defense, but things like you got to wear a life jacket, okay? You need to be familiar, have some certain skills with whatever craft you're going to be in. So if, you know, most folks can paddle a kayak, most folks can paddle a stand-up paddleboard. Canoe is a little bit more difficult in order to get it going straight in line. And the center of gravity is a little higher. So you got to have a little bit of skill proficiency for that. You need to kind of plan what you're doing, make sure that you're not going out too far or that the weather's going to change. Make sure that all your equipment that's in the boat is what you need. Like, you know, for kind of canoe, probably you're going to need a bailer. You need some lines to be able to tie up to the dock when you get there, things like that. And again, that's part of the Safety Afloat instruction. And then the next step up for that would be paddlecraft safety course.
One of my fondest memories when I was a cub, and I remember doing this when I was a Bear, Weeblo, and later AOL, was we went deep sea fishing with our den. So every summer we would go on a commercial vessel and go deep sea fishing, just drop line fishing. Is there any requirements for us prior to using a commercial operation if we were to go do something like that?
I would say that whoever's leading it needs to be Safety Afloat certified,
okay,
at a minimum, because that person would be the qualified supervisor for the event. Okay, so you can trust your charter captain that, you know, they've got insurance too, and they're not going to let anything stupid happen, hopefully. And, right.
And they've gone through the Coast Guard trainings as well. And
So they're totally trained in what they're doing, but,
awesome. Well, I don't want to take too much time, but you know, are there any other thoughts, in terms of us enjoying the water safely when it comes to, the summer?
Well, the more, you know, the more prepared you are. And, you know, of course that's our motto, be prepared. And I couldn't stress enough to be prepared for this. The best way to be prepared for water activity is to spend time in and on the water. The more time you're on the water or in the water, the better you get. And you also see the hazards and dangers that are associated there. Yeah, we offer these trainings. Like I said, the Safe Swim Defense and Safety Afloat is online, so that's the place to start. We offer the swimming water rescue and paddlecraft safety at summer camp. As you know, we've done swimming water rescue with some differently abled people, and that was very successful. So we can train folks that to be able to effectively administer aquatics activities and to be able to respond in an emergency. Awesome. and have a good time. Yeah. It's aquatics is, I mean, you know, there's lots of cool stuff that you can do, and it goes way up, you know, as far as Sea Scouts and some other things like that. Just really interesting things that Scouting America has to offer for young people.
Awesome.
Jeff Pitts is the Aquatics Committee Chair for Okanichi Council and the Senior Aquatics Advisor for our very own Camp Durant. So thanks again for taking the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Scouter's Compass. If you've enjoyed today's show, be sure to follow and share it with your fellow Scouters. This has been a production by the Cardinal District and Okanichi Council of Scouting America. For more information, visit www.ocscouts.org. Our theme music is by Dan Leibowitz. Until next time, I'm Chris Michaels. Stay sharp, stay kind, and keep scouting forward.